Good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome to St. Mark's Lutheran Church on this very special evening, this evening where we celebrate a promise kept, a promise of our Savior, not just our Savior, but our perfect Savior, true God, true man, in one, in the Christ child. Tonight we're going to go to that manger and see what exactly was born for us. And it'll be a unique service this evening, a service that it's a lessons and carols service that focuses on God's word and all of the promises that were given, but also give us a chance to worship him with song and praise because of it. Everything's printed for you in your worship folder that you should have received there in the lobby. Everything that we'll be singing tonight will be from the red song books there in front of you. The first hymn tonight will be from the choir. May God bless you as you worship this evening. Please stand. Dear beloved in Christ, in this Christmas season, it is our duty and delight to hear again the message of the angels and, in heart and mind, to go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us, the Christ child lying in a manger. Let us read and learn in Holy Scripture the story of the loving purposes of God from the first days after our fall into sin to the glorious redemption brought to us by this holy child. Let us hear how peace and hope were lost and how peace and hope are restored. As we begin our worship with the word and song this evening, let us pray to the God of hope. Heavenly Father, we pray for ourselves and all people who worship you and your Son this holy night. By your holy word, lead us to say with the angels,
Glory to God in the highest.
We pray for your blessing upon the people of our region, our state, our nation, and our world.
Glory to God in the highest.
We pray for the poor and helpless, the cold and hungry, the sick and sad, that you would give them the joy of your salvation and the comfort of your presence.
Glory to God in the highest.
We pray for unbelievers and enemies of the church, that through your law and gospel you would lead them to recognize your Son as their only hope for eternal life.
Glory to God in the highest.
Finally, we remember before you all those who rejoice with us in heaven, who live in greater light and beauty than we, that multitude which no one can number, who died in faith and now praise you in your heavenly temple. We confess that we are united with them and with one another.
Glory to God in the highest.
To sum up all of these petitions and praises, we humbly pray as Christ himself taught us.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
You may be seated. Tonight, as we begin our lessons and carols, we have a first lesson that's very fitting because it really shows us why we even need to talk about hope. We can see what Adam and Eve had done and look at what it did to their relationship with God. And yet, pay attention closely to the last verse as we read this. It's a promise of Christ to come. From Genesis chapter 3. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity, that is hostility, between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." The word of the Lord. We sing hymn 35, verses 1, 3, and 5. 35, 1, 3, and 5.
Thank you.
There are lots of prophecies about the Christ child, and yet this one in Isaiah chapter 9 tells us a lot about who he is. Take a look at our Savior that was born that night from Isaiah chapter 9. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this, the promise of the Lord. We sing hymn 54, verses 1 and 3. 54, 1 and 3. Isaiah had lots of prophecies about the coming Christ, but we see here in Isaiah 51 that this child to be born was going to bring something that would cover that shame and guilt Adam and everyone after him had felt. We get a special gift of righteousness from Christ, from Isaiah chapter 51. Listen to me, my people. Hear me, my nation. Instruction will go out from me. My justice will become a light to the nations. My righteousness draws near speedily. My salvation is on the way, and my arm will bring justice to the nations. The islands will look to me and wait in hope for my arm. Lift up your eyes to the heavens. Look at the earth beneath. The heavens will vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and its inhabitants die like flies. But my salvation will last forever. My righteousness will never fail. The word of the Lord. Join together in hymn 62, 62, 1, 2, and 3. 62.
Thank you.
Our God and his promise of hope get pretty specific with this next one, our fourth lesson from Micah chapter 5. Here God tells us the very specific town where the Savior would be born, but note also what he would do for us when he's born, from Micah chapter 5. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. The promise of the Lord. From hymn number 65 is next, verses 1, 3, and 4. 65, 1, 3, and 4. It was a promise that was unheard of, unthinkable that it could happen, and yet Mary had faith that the Lord would fulfill his word as promised. We see in Luke chapter 1, our fifth lesson, the plan of hope is revealed to Mary. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born to you will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be able to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. The promise of the Lord. We join together in hymn number 67. What child is this? 67. You can imagine the predicament that Joseph was in, and yet, God be praised, the Lord revealed his plan of hope to Joseph as well in Mary's son. Notice here another prophecy from Isaiah that this would be Emmanuel, from Matthew chapter 1. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through and was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. The promise of the Lord. We sing hymn 61, verses 1 and 2. Thank you. Grace and peace to you from God our Father through our Savior, the Christ child, Jesus Christ. Amen. Brothers and sisters, Merry Christmas. We have a four-year-old who is loving three different Advent calendars this December. And every morning he wakes up and asks our Google Home device, "Hey Google, how many days until Christmas?" The waiting, the anticipation, the hope, waiting for that Christmas day to come. That's the kind of hope that we have even now today. What do you think it was like for those people before Jesus was born? Those believers who were looking forward to that first Christmas day, the anticipation, the waiting, the hope. God had given them little glimpses, so many prophecies over thousands of years about what he would do. We've seen just a few of them tonight. Some of these prophecies were, let's just say, audacious. They were pretty hefty promises that God gave. Born of a virgin, called Emmanuel, God with us. He would be able to defeat the devil and his work. Even the tiny little town where he would be born. But the most audacious prophecy that God gave is one that we looked at earlier tonight. Just two chapters after Isaiah tells us about that Emmanuel, that God with us being born of a virgin, he tells us that God doesn't just double down on that promise, he quadruples down on who that child was going to be. And Isaiah chapter 9 is where we find a prophecy that we're going to take a little bit closer look at tonight. The promises that have to do with Isaiah chapter 9 are so rich that you could understand with this hope, it almost seemed too good to be true for these Israelites. You could understand if they were doubting, like, all right, not just is he going to come, but is he really going to be that special? We'll see tonight as we look at what God calls him that, yeah, he would. Their hopes would indeed be fulfilled. Tonight, we're going to peer into that manger as well. And we're going to see that our hopes are fulfilled too. Anticipation, the waiting, the hope, all fulfilled in Jesus. Who was born that night and placed in the manger, and therefore what was born for us that night? Isaiah prophesied, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Those are pretty hefty claims about this little baby. That first one especially we see, Wonderful Counselor, or literally it's a wonder of a counselor, a wonder as in miraculous or unexplainable, unequaled. He would give that kind of counsel and advice. Israelites had to be thinking as they're looking forward, really? He would give that kind of miraculous counsel to us? And yet, when that child finally came and grew up, yeah, he was indeed a Wonderful Counselor. People marveled at his teachings throughout his ministry. People could see that he knew exactly what they were thinking, what they were feeling in their hearts. He knew exactly what to say to confront someone's sin in their hearts, but also he knew exactly how to proclaim the gospel to them personally. He knew exactly what to say over and over again. Yeah, we could see that he was indeed a Wonderful Counselor. Those people saw that their hope was fulfilled. Wonderful Counselor. You know, God fulfilled it back then, but he still fulfills it for us today. Do you ever think to yourself in the darkness of your doubt, does God even have the ability to help me? Could God possibly guide me in this situation that I'm in? Does he even know how to help me in here? And in here? Then look into that manger and see who was born and be filled with hope. Yes, he knows exactly how to counsel you and guide you. His words have been doing that for millennia. He has been guiding you with his word, which is what brought you here tonight, surrounding yourself with his word, singing his praises. God can indeed guide you in everything that you're going on with in your life. He is indeed your wonderful counselor, Jesus, our hope of counsel and guidance. But how could he give such wonderful counsel? Why would he be such a wonder? I mean, we're talking about a little baby. And this little baby would grow up to be just a man, right? The next name reveals the truth about that. And he will be called Mighty God. This little baby, this child, this son given to us would be true God? How is that even possible? He would be the one, the Word made flesh. He would be not just the one who would have the wisdom of God with counsel, but he would have the power of God. Now, the Israelites here in this one, you could understand if they thought, really? That seems pretty out there. And yet, when this child finally came and grew up, they saw exactly that. He was indeed Mighty God. He showed it with the power of his miracles when he was healing people here and there. He showed it when he was commanded the wind and the waves, when he walked on the water. Showed it when he fed 5,000 and then 4,000. Showed it when he commanded evil spirits left and right. He showed it when he said no to Satan every single time. He even had power over death. He raised people to life, and not just physically, spiritually too. People went from the burden of guilt to trusting in forgiveness. They went from clinging to sin, from that to turning to it. From unbelief to belief. Spiritual death to spiritual life. Yeah, he would indeed show that he was Mighty God. Hope fulfilled. God fulfilled it then. He fulfills it still today for you and me. Do you ever think to yourself in the darkness of your doubt, can God really help me in my situation? Does he really have the power? It seems hopeless. I seem locked to my sin. It seems hopeless. I feel like I can't change at all. Then look into the manger, see who was born that night, and be filled with hope. Yes, God still, through Jesus, empowers us, strengthens us, protects us, fights for us. He still guides us with the power of his mighty word. He still creates that life where there was death. Yes, he can help you change too. He knows exactly what to say to you to bring life where there was spiritual decay. He is our mighty God. Hope fulfilled for us too. But how long would this care last? Would it ever end? The answer is given in the next name. He will be called Everlasting Father. No, his care would never end. This child that would come would take up that mantle of being a father to his children, caring for them perfectly, on and on. Without end, no matter who they are and what they did. You can imagine what the Israelites thinking about this one, really, after what we've done as a nation? He would really come and be a father to even us? Yet, when that child was born and he grew up, sure enough, they saw that he was Everlasting Father. He knew exactly who his disciples were. He called them by name. They were like sheep without a shepherd. He came and he shepherded them. He provided one-on-one care to a Samaritan woman at a well. to a deaf and mute man, to a short little tax collector up in a tree, even to the thief dying next to him on the cross. He was an everlasting father even when he was dying. Yeah, the people saw indeed that he was everlasting father. God fulfilled it back then. God fulfills it for us today too. Do you ever think to yourself in the darkness of your doubt, does God even know me? Does he even know who I am? Does he even care about me? With what I've done, has he turned his back on me? Have I fallen out of favor with him forever? Then look into the manger, see who was born that night, and be filled with hope. Yes, he is your everlasting Father as well. He still guides you and cares for you. He strikes you just like a good father would with his word warning you of the path that you're on. He also comforts you personally, one-on-one with the gospel, exactly what you need to hear. He cares for you every single day. In fact, he points you to eternal life in him. He wants to spend eternity with you. Yeah, I'd say that he knows who you are. In fact, he's called you by name. He is indeed our everlasting Father too, our hope of eternal care. But all of these names so far are just kind of like arrows. They're all pointing forward to this fourth one, because this fourth one is the most audacious of them all. It's kind of like leading up to that final one like a crescendo. He will be called Prince of Peace. Not just advocator of peace, not a politician for peace. He's not, I really hope I can secure peace someday, kind of. No, he is Prince of Peace. He rules it and he champions it. And this isn't just some earthly shallow peace. This is deep peace. This is peace with God. It's a peace that none of us had. You saw what happened with Adam and Eve, how they hid. This was a peace that none of us could secure except him, because he's the prince of it. Now this had to be the one where the Israelites had to be thinking, no way. With the history of how many times that we have fallen away from God and turned our back on him, there's no way that we could have peace. All of our sins. And yet, when that child came and was finally born and grew up, they saw that he was indeed the Prince of Peace. Everything he ever did was filled with the peace of God, because everything he ever did was perfect. Everything he did followed the Father's will, whether it was in his mind, in his heart, or what he did with his actions. Therefore, he had peace with the Father through and through, until he didn't. Until it was the opposite. On the cross, it was wrath and punishment from the Father. Our every sin of any person that's ever lived, anything that's caused us strain in our relationship with God, was placed upon him that day instead of us. Yeah, the people, as he was dying, they could proclaim that he was indeed the Prince of Peace. God fulfilled it back then. It's still true for us today. Do you ever think to yourself in the darkness of your doubt, could God really forgive me? Am I really forgiven for that terrible sin that I committed? And that one, and that one? Do I really not have to earn this peace with God? Is Jesus really the champion of it for me? Can I really approach God with freedom and confidence? Do I really have peace with God? Then look into the manger, see who was born that day, and be filled with hope. Yes, he is your Prince of Peace too. He took every sin of yours and paid for it. Anything that put any sort of strain between your relationship with God, placed upon him. Now you are completely covered with his righteousness, his faith. How do you know? Because he says it. He says he gives you his righteousness, his perfect life through faith. He says that he is the ransom, that he was the Lamb who took away your sins. And when the wonderful Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father says it, it's true. And how much more does he have to prove it except when that little body that was born as a sacrifice for us grew up and died. 3 days later, it came back to life. Proved it all was true. Yeah, he indeed is also our Prince of Peace, our hope of peace with God. Mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So many hefty names from our God, and yet all fulfilled. You and I can praise God just as much as those first people who saw it with their own eyes, because it's still true for us today. So today and tomorrow, as you continue to celebrate who was born for you and what he means, may God bless you as you realize what it means for you eternally. Today and tomorrow, may you continue to celebrate that on Christmas Day, hope is born. Amen. Please stand. May the peace of God that transcends all understanding guard your hearts and your minds through faith in him. Amen. You can take a second to stretch a little bit. Once you're ready, you may be seated for the offering. All right, all of this hope, all of this anticipation, let's get to it already. Let's look again this year at how God fulfilled our hope. Let's read once again of the beautiful things that happened when our Savior was born. Hope is born. Luke chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The promise of the Lord fulfilled. We sing hymn 63.
Thank you.
Please stand for prayer and to receive a blessing. May he who by his incarnation gathered things earthly and heavenly into one, fill us with such joy that comes with the knowledge of the forgiveness of sins and the hope of eternal life. Praise be to Emmanuel, the Word made flesh, the Son of David, the Prince of Peace, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be upon you and remain with you always.
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated for our closing hymn, number 60. Merry Christmas. It's been a pleasure and an honor worshiping with you this Christmas evening. We even got bells celebrating the closing of our worship this evening. We're going to celebrate again tomorrow morning at 10:30 a.m. at our beautiful Christmas morning celebration of Christ's birth. So join us again tomorrow if you can. If not, we hope to see you not just on Sundays, but also, if you wanted to come to our New Year's Eve service, we have a special evening of renewal and restoration that night as well. If you're a visitor with us this evening, God's blessings to you and welcome. If you have any questions about our ministry, please make sure to visit our Welcome Center over there. Lots of information. Also, speak with any one of us or one of the pastors. We'd love to talk to you about our ministry here. God's blessings on your travel to and from home, and may God continue to celebrate or bless you as you celebrate the hope that was born for you that night. Please stick around to greet one another.